Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Figure It, a podcast where we look at the facts and statistics on Cyprus and figure out what it all means. My name is Fiona Mullen and I'm the Director of Sapienta Economics. This week I've brought Mete Haitai onto the programme to talk about the highly contentious issue of how many people actually live in northern Cyprus. Mete is just coming to the end of a long career at the Norwegian Peace Research Institute Oslo, PRIO. Most recently, his research focus has been on de facto states, everyday life in de facto states, how it affects the environment, and you're doing a documentary on that soon, I think, right? Yeah. But he's also done a lot of work on number crunching and cross-checking on that number crunching of demographics in northern Cyprus. And the other week I got into a debate on Twitter with somebody about this because this talk, some people talk of 1 million, some people talk of 2, some people talk of 6, and all of those didn't sound very credible to me, so I wanted to get Mete onto the programme to do some myth-busting, so welcome.
Hi, Mete. Fiona.
By the way, you can find a lot of Mete's publications and blogs and research and so on if you Google PRIO Cyprus Centre Mete Haitai, and he's also quite active on Facebook as well, especially if you speak Turkish. So let's start with, I'm going to look at some of the basics about what's published by the unrecognised Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus. What do the official figures say? Then we'll get into some of the numbers thrown by various others. And then I'll be asking Mete to comment on each of these. And if we've got time at the end, it'd be good to talk about why this is a political issue, hot issue, both for Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots. So let's talk about the census. Our basic problem here is we haven't had a census since 2011, right? What kind of problems does that create in producing officials?
I mean, it creates a lot of problems, of course. To update certain figures. With the census, it was possible. They were going to change the way they were doing the censuses as well. Instead of locking people in, they were going to do more address-based censuses. Yeah, it would take three, four months probably to collect all the data. But you get the exact data. With the censuses, like with the have it in one day and lock people in. What do you call it? That people are not allowed out. Curfew. Sort of calling for curfew and everything. There were a lot of reactions and a lot of people didn't open their doors.
Here they keep knocking through open.
Sometimes because they haven't done proper address evaluations, and that had a huge impact on, not huge, but some impact on the results of the censuses.
Yeah. So at the Atlas basis is the kind of, let's say, the proper way to do it, is that right?
It is. Like if you don't find someone today, you find it tomorrow or after.
Right. Yeah. So we haven't had a census since, most places do one every 10 years. We haven't had one since 2011. And that means, if I understand right, for example, the labour force survey, which does involve people going to actual houses and asking questions. The last one in October 2023 gives a civilian population of just over 380,000. So that's the population without Turkish army. And we know that's an underestimate because of this lack of census, they don't go to new building areas, right? New flats, new conurbations and so on. Is that right?
I mean, they try to go to, but as I say, the registration of new buildings is not taking place very easily, and it takes some time.
Right.
And they have to work with the local authorities as well, like each municipality has to work with them and everything. So they are not doing that in a sense, so they just randomly go to houses and do the survey. Yeah. The exact census kind of survey. It's a random sort of survey.
So that leaves plenty of scope for speculation about what the real number is. Tatar, Ersin Tatar, Turkish Cypriot leader, recently said it was 410,000. This was after a lot of pushing, yeah, people asking. But then there's some people say 1 million, some people say 2 million. I'm sure I've read it 6 million somewhere. But just to give an idea of what would, yeah, 1 million be. So the population of the south is 1 million. That means there's 1 million people squashed into, yeah, 1/3 of the area, which just doesn't physically seem to be the case. Yeah. If you know, Nicosia gets busy on an afternoon when people are driving to private lessons or whatever, you know, driving their kids around. But it just seems to me to be plainly not true. But let me address this one specific thing that I was talking to the guy on Twitter about. Was his reason for saying, oh, it must be 1 million, is because the number of active mobile phone registrations, which apparently the Communications Ministry, this is the Cyprus Mail reporting in January this year, they've got, it's just over 800,000 active mobile phone subscriptions. In the south, we've got about, the latest figures for 2022, it's about 1.5 subscriptions per, yeah, person, let's say. So if you've got 1 million, then it's 1.5 million. So it would be a little, yeah, bit less than that because of the, it's just under. But what's, you know, is that a legitimate thing to look at? Is there a problem with that? We'll get onto car registrations and other measures in a minute. But is it a decent measure to look at or not?
I mean, if you compare with other places, indicate like using a 1.5 thing, it will, mm-hmm, come up to around 500,000. Yeah, 550,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is around what we calculate that the de facto population is around, mm-hmm, that number, yeah. So right. Then it means, yeah, yeah, but you have to compare with other places, similar places, similar income, right, places. And also, of course, every place is different. In the north, you have a lot of mobility of the people. You have a lot of soldiers, mm-hmm, keep changing every year, you know, 35,000 military, yeah, guys. They have to, you know, you refresh the army forces once a year. They, yeah, change their compulsory services. Yeah, so all guys have,
and maybe it's,
yeah, all these guys have.
Just, yeah, to interrupt, there is that just because in northern Cyprus you have what looks like a Turkish number, it doesn't work the same. You still pay different rates. So what I'm saying is, even if you're from Turkey, you're incentivized to,
exactly,
have a Northern Cyprus SIM,
exactly,
card because it'll be,
exactly,
cheaper.
So, yeah, you have the, okay, students, the soldiers, and the businessmen who keeps coming to Cyprus buying these, mm-hmm, cards to use,
yeah,
it for,
yeah, yeah,
for their business purpose, or, you know,
right,
because of their cheaper.
So can't do this in my head, but yeah, if 800,000 is 1.5 times the actual population, then maybe we're not that far off if it's,
yeah,
550. We'll get into why, yeah, it might be that in a minute. Another is the number of car registrations. So I found an article saying there were 370,000 vehicles in the north. In the south, we've got just under 800,000. It worked out about 86% of the population. So again, that's actually, yeah, vehicles probably seems a bit less actually
than the south. yeah.
Yeah. It, yes. Proportion wise.
And the vehicles, yeah, means it's not just the saloon cars, you know, it means motorcycles,
yeah,
tractors, those, everything,
yeah,
is included in the figure. And all the cars in the car cemeteries are included there as well. Because,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
Okay. Because certain cars are, yeah,
abandoned,
exactly,
cars.
So all the registry.
And maybe you don't have as many delivery people as we do.
No,
on the phone,
I'm sure maybe there's, we are near to that number or even more some cases, yeah.
I know. So, okay, so we've got no census, we've got phone data, we've got car registration data. Where else? I know in the past you've looked at number of electricity,
yeah,
meters to see how many people are actually living in households. Do we have any up-to-date,
yes,
data on that these days?
Electricity data is to know the house units, house stock in the north. So
right,
we have around,
yeah,
186,000,
yeah,
house stock currently. Housing stocks. Yeah.
Okay.
So
right.
That again brings the number to 500,000 or 450. But you have the students who lives in the dormitories. You have guests who live in the dormitories. Uh-huh, so uh-huh. The number can be higher than that.
Yeah, because I seem to remember the average household size in the south is about three. So three per, it might be a bit less now, but I remember. Yeah, so again, okay. So that's interesting because I had, like, well, we've got, you know, 100,000 students. We've got people coming and going. Do we know approximately how many workers who come and go, let's say migrant workers that we have?
In the north you're talking about.
In the north.
We know the registered workers, but we don't know the players. Mm-hmm. That's the data missing, yeah? Because you have a lot of workers who comes, gets a work permit for a year, and then overstays, yeah? They have amnesties every 2-3 years because there's huge fines exercised on those who are overstaying. So sometimes they have amnesties for these fines, and you have like 5,000 people appearing all of a sudden from somewhere and applying for amnesty. So that means that we have this non-recorded labor force existing in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to know now that number. But we estimate around 25 to 30,000 non-recorded people. Yeah, okay. Some are overstayed students, some are overstayed labor force. Mm-hmm. Some of these people also cross to the other side and ask for asylum as well. So we don't know how many
don't tend to be accepted these days.
Yeah, we don't know how many of them are still
okay.
In the
north. And then we've
70,000 registered immigrant workers we have currently.
70,000 registered. Okay, so that's
70% of the private sector, that is.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All on minimum wage, right?
Minimum wage. Some gets less than minimum wage, but they charge them, accommodation and food and all this. Half of the minimum wage. There was a big scandal 2 weeks ago came about. Ciprivox, which is the main citrus package company, found 170 Bangladeshi living in the factory, like beside the machine.
Yeah, all squashed together.
They were brought in. Yeah, and Dickensian they didn't get paid for the last 3 months or, just peanuts.
And they put their passports and all
these things
kind of
happening
stuff.
Now. Yeah. There's a huge slave labor going on. So when I checked how many Asian workers are here in the north, it's around 20,000. We have working in industry, and the Asians are usually working for some are in the construction, but majority are working in agriculture and all the delivery shops, restaurants, gardening, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So we've got about 100,000 students. Actually, it's maybe a bit less than that if we knock off the Turkish Cypriots, but let's say 100,000 students. About 100,000 registered and
workers.
Non-registered and workers. Then we've got, let's say, how many people do we have with the, in brackets, in quotes, TRNC?
230,000.
And then there's, we can infer from how many people had the right to vote in Turkey, how many of those might be, hang on, I'm getting this the wrong way around. How many people had the right to vote in the south? It's something like
103,000.
103,000. If I'm not mistaken. 103. Or let's say adult original Turkish Cypriots.
Yes, over 18 years of age. Yeah. So you can add another 30,000, 40,000 to that. And the original Cypriots is around 140,000,
150,000. Yeah. So we've got 100, 200, 300, 430. And then So I've got for, let's say, Turkish Cypriot, TRNC citizens, 230, and then another 200 from the other lot. So there's another 100,000. And who are they, let's say?
You have the expats living in Cyprus. Around 25,000 to 30,000 residencies are given out. Some to British people because they give residencies for 1 year residency. A lot of retirees are living in the north.
Yeah.
Then you have Russians, you have Iranians, Ukrainians,
There was one figure about 50,000
no, that
Russians,
was
but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
It's like it's, in another
it was
podcast,
a mistake.
Say, well,
they looked
not
at the incomers, the arrivals on the data. 50,000 Russians arrived in 1 year, but they didn't look at the departures. So that myth was constructed. 50,000 Russians moved in.
Okay. Good. So, I need to update my figures because I had about 430,000, but you reckon it's more like 550 now?
Yeah, more than 500. So, I mean, over that is all speculation. Because of this non-recorded labor, I'm saying around 500,000.
Yeah.
And then because of this new expat population has been grown. Property sort of boom brought in a lot of people, and because of this property boom, a lot of workers started to arrive. So, the working, the foreign workers force in Cyprus was around 40,000 until 70,000. It's almost doubled itself because all these villas need tenders, constructions need workers, and the takeaways need delivery boys. And
I noticed a big increase in arrivals from Turkmenistan which is
domestic,
probably not going to be tourists.
Domestic labor force. They work in look after old people and in houses. But now the males are started to come because of the problems in Turkmenistan. Mm-hmm. So some of these places are delicate, sort of sensitive places, so the democracy can be in jeopardy and everything. So that these places, the people who comes from these areas can end up all of a sudden as refugees or, you know, not wanting to go back.
Because they are minorities wherever they're coming
exactly.
from or whatever. So before I get onto why it's all contentious, both for Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots, So out of all of that, one of the things that I think people get mixed up in on both sides, actually, is they make an estimate for how many people of Turkish origin there are in northern Cyprus and assume that they all have the vote and that therefore they are dominating the voting population. But I think the voting population is still majority Turkish Cypriot, at least for the time being.
Yes, and also voting is not the ethnic base. I mean, the... All right, you have those people who's been
that
living here for 50 years or their kids were born here and their kids' kids are born here. So you have a lot of different classes, the urban differentiations.
So you have urbanized people of Turkish so they don't all vote for
exactly.
that
and
or,
the good example of that is when you look at the election results for those who voted in for Turkey, because
in the last election
double
in Turkey,
citizens, as we can call them, you could see that almost 65% voted against AKP.
Against Erdogan. That was interesting.
That means that they are not just, Erdogan's warriors.
And not even for, let's say, religious parties.
You have
a lot
of secular... people living in Cyprus, increasingly more so now with this second home things. A lot of, as we call them, white Turks are arriving because the pull factor for North Cyprus is this secular atmosphere in Cyprus. So that's why you have a lot of Iranian arriving. That's why you have a lot of, these white Turks from Izmir and Istanbul coming to buy their summer houses here because... They can wear their miniskirts, they can go around, no one, cares and everything.
Yeah,
and they can drink as much as they like. so that's the pull factor for North Cyprus.
Interesting. So most people living in Cyprus will know this, but just give me briefly, why is the whole population issue contentious, both for...
Because firstly, starting with Republic of Cyprus's inception, there was this strict population ratio, they called it. Even in the constitution, there's it has to stay. So if one community produces more kids, the other one is allowed to bring people in kind of arrangements there exist.
Yeah, and that kind of was even in the Annan Plan.
Yeah, something like that.
Wasn't it? Something like that.
I mean, Turkish Cypriots intend to increase their population, and that's why they look for to bring people in. And the Greek Cypriots are trying to suppress this intention because a lot of the rights and regulations and the political rights are adjusted to your size.
On the basis of the whatever the ratio is. Yeah.
Or proportional to, you have this stress there. But on the other hand, Turkish Cypriots also have this worry of disappearing for the last 100 years.
For the last 100 years,
since the annexation of Cyprus to British, they are, you can call them accidental diasporas. Yeah, all of a sudden, the motherland they saw, the center, Istanbul or Ankara, they perceived, was cut off. Yeah, and they were left in the island as accidental diasporas, we call them. Yeah? And since then, and the British also used the proportionality for representation. So you had three Turkish representatives, nine Greek representatives, legislative council, municipal councils, and things like that. So that brought in most of the time, not in the legislative councils, because you had six British appointed members balancing the situation, but not in municipal councils. Right. So there you had the majority rule. Turkish Cypriots were complaining about this majority rule always. So that's why the first thing they did was to separate the municipalities, have their own municipalities and things like this in 1950s. Yeah, 56, 57 and all this stuff. So this fear of being dominated determined their reactions about the demography and politics and how the Turkish Cypriots wants to. That's why they insist on political equality, regardless of their sizes and things like that. And that's why they brought in a lot of people after 74. They had this demographic engineering, is obvious. And
And one thing, like, you often hear Greek Cypriots saying, Turkey keeps sending Turks to Northern Cyprus. So it was an official policy up until about the 1980s, and people were given housing and so on. But now it's just people come for labor, they come for their second homes. Isn't it? It's not, let's say, an official state policy.
Yeah, the demographic engineering took place until 81, until 80, really, the coup d'etat in Turkey. 81. They weren't allowed to go anyway. So there was a period of no one coming from Turkey because of the Turkey was locked down and coup d'etat was running the show. So after liberalization of Turkey, the ideas of liberal economy started coming. So the private sectors started to appear, factories, new factories, because most of the factories left by Greek Cypriots were taken over by state companies. Yeah, it was more like a socialist system.
Right.
The state was doing blankets, pipes, and shampoos, and things like that. So, but using the properties left by the Greek Cypriots. In that sense. So that has become liberalized. They started selling those to private companies and things like that. And gradually that attracted cheap labor. So the first cheap labor came from Turkey. And until 2006, many of these workers were non-recorded. So they had no entitlement to apply for citizenship and things like that. Yeah. And then Social Security funds were in crisis, so they had to record them and get their money to save Turkish Cypriot Social Security pensions. And over 1 month in 2006, it was from 7,000 recorded immigrant workers, it went up to 38,000. because they said that if they are caught without, they gave them one chance to leave the country and come back and apply. So all of a sudden the North Cyprus emptied. And they came back and applied for their social security numbers and whatever. And our phones were saved. The pensioners, Turkish Cypriot pensioners were saved. With these immigrant workers' contributions in that sense. And since then, more and more recorded people are kept there because it is helping the local funds, pension funds. Yeah.
So I guess I will end with one final question. Back in the Annan Plan days, there was this joke that they couldn't find, I think, was it 40 or 50,000 people of Turkish origin who would also be entitled to United Cyprus citizenship because they've got TRNC citizenship. And the joke was they couldn't actually find this 40,000 because there weren't that many. So these days, what would the number be? If you had to say people who'd...
I mean, if you take all the TRNC citizens who are Turkish origins, excluding the kids who come from mixed, because they are entitled citizens anyway.
Yeah.
They will have to get... I would say 70,000. There has...
70. So it's not 500 million numbers.
Definitely not. And the reason why they leave these things wake, is for politics. Because...
I mean, that's why we haven't had a census.
No, the census was because of the COVID, and they used that for some other purposes. Uh-huh. Now they're trying to create the budget to do it, the government change. But they're going to do it next year. Yeah. They will have to do it. It's not that they're trying to hide something. They are trying to hide certain things, like the details. Yeah, they give the rough numbers, but the details, how many African students are here?
We had that here. So we had a census in 2021. It was only this last month, early last month, we finally got by citizenship. And guess what? There aren't 50,000 Russians on this
side.
Anyway, we're running up to our 30-minute limit, but that was really interesting. Thank you. And I'm sure we can come back and talk a bit more about the politics again in future. Thanks for joining. So I'll just finish off by saying Figure It is brought to you by Island Talks, the only trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. If you want to play for the overheads, none of it goes to me. You can go to islandtalks.fm and select Support Us. I think there's a Patreon button or something there. Great. Thanks very much, Leti.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks. Open, diverse, free.